Welcome to the Open Door Podcast, your key to exploring the vibrant tapestry of real estate, lifestyle, and community in the greater Boston area.
Join us as we unlock the doors to captivating homes, delve into the essence of local life, and weave through the rich threads of community stories. I'm Melanie Gundersheim.
And I'm Margie Gundersheim, and we're thrilled to be your guides on this journey. Let's swing open the doors to Boston's dynamic landscapes and discover the heart behind the people and the places.
This is the Open Door Podcast,
where homes, lifestyles, and communities converge.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the Open Door Podcast. Today, we are going to be talking about mother-daughter dynamics and working with family. And whether you can relate to that or whether you cannot, we want to give you a little bit of insight as to how that works for us. Hi, Mom.
Hi,
honey. How are you?
I'm great.
Good.
How are you today?
Good.
Good.
So from my end, every time I, you know, for a quick recap, if you didn't hear the history from episode one about, you know, how we got into this together, go take a listen. It's a very short episode and it'll give you some insight as to how we got here together. But any time that I am chatting with clients or friends or even other family and they're curious about, you know, our history or how we got into this, I tell people I work with my mom and I get two reactions every time. I get, oh my God, you work with your mother? Not personal to you, but obviously that's some sort of projection.
That's funny.
Or I get, oh my God, that is so cute and so special and you must love that. And thankfully in our situation, it's the latter. So it's always it's a conversation starter because some people cannot imagine getting into business with family and some people do it all day long. So I think it's something important to talk about and I think people are very curious about it. So I guess from your end, what did you see, you know, when you were thinking about us working together, what was a strength of that to you and why did you feel like that was a good idea?
So that's a very easy answer. And I can honestly tell you that in real estate, there have been very few people that I would put in front of me if I couldn't be there, if I couldn't meet clients, if I couldn't do a property tour, if I couldn't attend an open house or meet with sellers, you know, because in our industry, it's very 24/7.
Right.
And we work a lot.
Right.
So if I was in a moment where for whatever reason, I was not going to be able to do that, there's only one person typically that I would put in front of me that I would feel comfortable doing that with. This was before you, and that person knows who he is. And that person is a very busy real estate person. So it was difficult to go to sleep at night knowing that if I couldn't show up, what would I do?
Mm-hmm.
And as a result, when I was traveling, no matter where I was, even if I was out of the country, I was connected at all times 24/7 because I will never let my clients down or right. not be there for
mm-hmm.
them. So you are the first person that I felt that I could trust other than this other person that, you know, I've known for a long time to communicate and step in for me. And I knew that you would do it exactly the way I would do it. I always know that you're going to say it the way I would say it.
Mm-hmm.
I always know that my clients are going to feel so well taken care of. And that has been the biggest gift to me, having you in this business.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, I can trust you 1,000% and not even think about it.
Thank you.
And I love that so much.
Back at you.
It's changed everything for me.
Good. I'm glad. So I think that's a really good segue into, I guess, our dynamic. And anybody, maybe even in the corporate world, I have no idea, but might be able to relate to this. But when you're building a team or you're making a hire for anything, but we can only really speak to real estate, you're supposed to or usually try and hire for, you know, they say opposites attract or hire for your opposite or hire someone who can, you know, if you're super creative, then you want someone who can be a little more business analytical or whatever the case may be. So I remember when I first got my license, someone suggested that we take, was it the DISC profile?
Yes.
Yes, the DISC profile test. Which
it was required
know,
at that time for where I was working.
So for those of you who don't know, it's a pretty well-known personality test where it identifies, for lack of better terms, your strengths, your weaknesses, where you excel, kind of how your brain functions. So I took the test and we had the same exact result.
We did.
And that could have been or is, it could have been really good or really bad depending on how you look at it. So that was an interesting setup for our dynamic because people, like I answer the phone and people think I'm you. We talk the exact same. We have very similar mannerisms. So we're very similar, which is a really great thing because to what you said earlier, we treat our clients the exact same way and we approach things and have very similar communication style. But for business growth or for, you know, maybe boundaries or everything, it could have been difficult. So when we got those results back, what was your first, I guess, instinct or gut feeling on like, oh my God, this is going to be really fun, or, oh, okay, we're going to have to work through this?
Well, I think my first gut reaction was part of me was not surprised.
Right.
And the other part of me was a little bit, oh no.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know,
I was a little bit, oh no.
Yeah, you do want to bring people to the table that have very different skill sets than you do.
Right.
And so I was sort of hoping that some of those might pop up in your personality test, but they didn't. So you and I got together and said, great, we're going to hire for those pieces of the puzzle that we need to have to complete our team on the back end. And we're just going to hold hands and run and go.
Right.
And that's what we did.
But we didn't really hire right away. Like that kind of, I feel like, came
within
the past year or two, you know, 2.5 years. But in the beginning, we definitely held hands and ran. And I can only speak for myself, but I think because we're different generations, right? So I have the advantage or benefit of I was raised with social media. I was raised with tech mostly. So I had the advantage of bringing that to the table, which I think when we present that to clients is a really great thing because we have the old school, the new school, and we take both of the benefits of that and really kind of make this happy little enmeshment. But, you know, we didn't hire for our quote unquote weaknesses right away. And because we didn't do that, because by the way, it's expensive to hire people to help you grow your business. Because we didn't do that, I think that helped me develop a lot of new skills. And I didn't go to business school, I didn't go to grad school, but I think that not having that right away and having someone to help us do that, I tapped into a little bit of dad's brain.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope that you also think, but I think I was able to bring that to the table because we had to do it. And it was, I think it benefited me to not have that, you know, handed to me by somebody else or having someone take up that space because I never would have learned how to do it. And it's been really difficult, but really eye-opening. I think that's why we've been able to grow. So not the only reason why, obviously, but I think that was actually, it felt like an uh-oh in the beginning. It was obviously a blessing because a lot of this business is communication style and the way you treat your people and your systems and everything. But having to kind of tap into that business analytical, more data lefty brain has been really good for me, I think. So
I think it's true. You have developed that part of your brain. I mean, we always have data and analytics as part of our business.
Of course.
But
I mean, as far business growth.
Right. Yeah. As far as business growth and just getting out there so people know who we are.
Right.
You've done a tremendous job. And circling back to what you're saying about not hiring right away or not having that leverage immediately, when you asked me in the prior episode about what it was like for me in real estate when I started and I explained that the market crashed right after I started real estate, I will tell you that in the same vein, my skill set was elevated because I had to be a scrapper.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know what it was like to sell in an environment where houses sold with multiple bids, $100,000 over ask, 10 times over in the first open house. And many of the people that I was shoulder to shoulder with had been in that environment
right.
for many years prior to this happening. And that's the only way they knew how to sell. Mm-hmm. They did not know how to negotiate. Mm-hmm. They did not know how to bring parties together to have a meeting of the mind. They didn't know how to present give and take in a transaction.
Right.
And in the same way, I harnessed that situation and elevated skills. So I appreciate exactly what you're saying.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that is exactly what translated to me, because when I got in a not 2008 environment, it was very different. Things were much better, thankfully. But it was still a difficult environment, just in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
But I was able to translate those skills, whereas not to, not knocking anyone, but you're right. People who get into this industry and think, maybe it's a part-time situation and they're just going to be able to write an offer with really no skills, not knowing how to negotiate, not educating their people and getting things hundreds of thousands of dollars over asking, it's a different animal. So I had those skills transferred from you and was able to put those into my business and to my clients as well, which was really helpful. So we both, you had your experience from starting, and then I kind of had my experience from, I guess, my environment. And then where the lack was, we have to evolve and grow, as all entrepreneurs do. And I think we're on the precipice of some really big growth and some really exciting things that have come from us being so similar and really doing this together, which is really nice. So kind of in the same vein, I'm curious to hear your thoughts. What do you think the challenges are of working with family, daughter specific? We kind of talked about what we love about it, but yeah, tell me either what you were worried about that maybe didn't happen or what is kind of difficult.
So I think for us, it just becomes boundaries. When mm-hmm. does work end
right.
and family start? And you and I also, because our daily lives are very similar but yet different, have different time and schedules that we work on. So I know that at a certain time of night, if you've got all your clients wrapped up and everybody's, signed off, and your buyer tours are scheduled and your, showings are all set for your listings, that you're ready to shut down. And sometimes that's when I'm continuing mm-hmm. because whatever I was doing in my day prevented me from getting some things done. So when we FaceTime each other on a regular basis around dinner time, mm-hmm. I want to talk about business.
Right.
And you're done. And you're probably going out. So that's the only thing I think for me is, our schedules aren't always in sync. And mm-hmm. also for our poor family members, when they say we don't want to hear about
right.
this.
Like, right. Please stop.
Right.
We cannot talk about your open house schedule.
Right.
Like exactly. while we're in the other room.
Exactly. But other than that, I don't have any challenges. You enrich every part of my business and my life. So, but that I have to laugh about it, because how many nights do we get together or see each other and you say, nope, can't, I'm out.
Right. Cannot.
Right.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think also let's just note that's, I think, grand scheme, an anomaly. Like, we're the outlier, I think, or I think at least we are. I think a lot of people who get into business with family, we've never really had to have the hard boundary conversation of this is the way we need to speak to each other and this is when we have to, shut it off. And, again, we communicate very similarly. So there's really nothing that I feel like I can't say to you, whether it's business related, which, let's be honest, sometimes business conversations are difficult. If I'm, depending on the market environment, depending on what's going on with my clients and yours and just dynamics of being entrepreneurs in the real estate industry, growing our team, growing our business. So I feel very lucky that I don't feel that there's anything we can't talk about. And I know that there are families in business together who cannot relate. So very grateful for that. And I think that that's kind of the pillar of why we are able to do what we do so successfully, because we can set the boundaries. We could probably be better about that. Maybe we should, work has to end here and life has to start here in fluid conversations. But at the end of the day, that's kind of just what it is. And I think we are able to not get into those tumultuous kind of nightmare family scenarios because we are so similar. And that's really important to us. We never want that to be, we're not going to let our family crumble because of business at the end of the day. Not that that would ever happen to us. But it does. It happens all the time to so many people.
It does happen to people. No, I think we have a really good balance. And I believe that, you know, the people that we're helping are getting, you know, two for the price of one.
Yeah.
And it's such a gift to be able to call you and say, Melanie, what do you think about this? Or will you, you know, this is where I think the pricing is
right.
on
Take
this particular property. You know, what do you think? And just being able to bounce all of this off of somebody.
Or an offer language by each other.
Right. It's just, you know, the feedback is, you know, that we can give each other really, I find helpful.
I agree. And I think that there's something to be said, especially when you're working with family. There's a new level of comfort that can happen where there's no judgment. You know, we're really trying to make it work together.
Right.
Whereas if it's just, you know, a mentor, like maybe there's a little more apprehension to bring certain things up because you want to feel like you're doing the right thing and you're impressing them. Whereas you're my mom. So if there's something that I, you know, need to get on the phone with you about or vice versa, where you're like, I just need to talk this through so that, you know, make sure we're all on the same page, then there's really no room for judgment because we're family, which
100%.
Is really cool.
Yeah, it is really cool.
So I think tips for, you know, and this is our daily life, so we're always a work in progress. But for anyone listening who is in business with family, I hope you've kind of heard the unique advantages and opportunities that can come with that, alongside the very, you know, real situations of, you know, what boundaries you might need to set and conversations you need to have ahead mm-hmm. of time and conversations that will continue to flow as and come up as we grow our team, as we grow our personal businesses, as we go through different chapters in life where, you know, grandparents, parents getting old, like, you know, there are things that we have to deal with that do affect our business and our lives that it's always going to have to be an ever-flowing conversation. So again, we understand and acknowledge, I think, how lucky we are. But I think tips for some of our listeners that are takeaways from us is just trying to find, I guess, that balance between when work stops and when work starts again. Maybe having, you know, and something we want to do is start having some consistency in our meetings and not just our calls and FaceTimes that we do all day long. That would help us kind of set those boundaries. But other than that, I feel like that's kind
pretty
of
pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah.
The only other challenge we have is travel.
Yes. Right.
When we want to travel
vacations.
Together because we work together.
Right.
All of our clients are all of our clients. We share them together. But, you know, if, you know, I need you to do showings, you do showings for me. If you need me to take people out, I'm willing to do that. So when we travel, there's no conflict.
Right.
But now we have built a team of, you know, friends and colleagues that we do trust.
Yeah, and we're going to hire our own agents. Going to Shine Group is
100%.
Growing. So anybody listening who's curious, let us know.
100%.
But, yeah, I agree. And I agree the two for one, you know, we've been on listing appointments where we say, you know, you're hiring us, you're paying the one fee, but you're getting two of us. You're getting two minds. You're getting two data points. You're getting two people to review, two people to cover open houses. If we happen to not be on a family vacation and I'm away, you're there. I tell, you know, my clients who onboard with me that, you know, we will not write offers on anything that either myself or you hasn't seen before. So it's nice to have kind of this insurance policy of, you know, one of us being there and being there for each other. So.
Definitely.
So for those of you who might not know how we work together is that I have my clients, so my clients who connect with me or are referred to me and then onboard with my process. And Margie, mom, has her clients who onboard with her, work with her, go through her process, which both of our processes are the same. But the benefit of, you know, how we work together is that, like we kind of mentioned, for somebody who if I'm away and I need my client to have a professional realtor with eyes on that property so that we can make an offer, she's there, vice versa. And I think I would say the biggest benefit is really with sellers so that, you know, if I'm on a listing presentation and a seller is hiring me, we have two people at that open house. We have two people to run data by, to structure, to negotiate, et cetera. There's really a benefit in both ways. But just wanted to, you know, every team does it differently. So the way we do it is, if you sign up to work with me, you're working with me, but you have a backup, an amazing professional team member to help out when needed and vice versa. Well, thank you all so much for tuning in. We hope this episode brought you a little bit into the insight of what our dynamic is like that, of course, you'll learn more about as we go along. And again, for a little more on our history, you can tune back to episode 1. But otherwise, we're going to see you next week for episode 3. Any last words, Mom?
Thank you so much for joining us. We're super grateful.
Thanks, everybody. And to find us on Instagram, I'm at the Melanie Gundersheim, and Mom?
At Margie Gundersheim.
Awesome. We'll see you guys next week.
And that's a wrap on today's adventure with the Open Door Podcast. Thank you for letting us share the beauty of Boston and our communities with you. If any of these stories or information has resonated, please subscribe to our podcast on YouTube, Spotify, or wherever you may listen, and join us on Instagram for a daily dose of valuable information and warmth. From Melanie and Margie Gundersheim, a huge thank you for spending your time with us here. Until next time.